Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. Caught up in this only moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. More than anything that you can do, I just want you. Oh, I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this only moment. And I never want to leave. I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't know me anything. More than anything that you can give. I just want you. I'm so weak when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot you are enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you are enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I'm coming back to the place of worship where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things. For it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Oh, it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And it's all about you. It's all about you. Oh, it's all about you. Oh, it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Lord. All about you. It's all about you. All about you. Oh, it's all about you. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you search much deeper within than the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Oh, I'm calling back to the heart, where it's all about you. It's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm so in love for the thing I've made it, for it's all about, it's all about you. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. While in the first service, before I stepped in, I wanted to talk about something, but somehow God didn't want me to talk about it. I believe that's why I forgot it. So we're going to do, you're going to give me three scriptures very fast, media. First Thessalonians 2:7-8. Then 11:12. Still First Thessalonians. 7:8, 11:12. Then Galatians 4:19. First Thessalonians, did I say 7:8? I said 11:12. I said 7:8, right? I said, but we were gentle among you, just as nursing mothers cherishes our own children. Hallelujah to Jesus. Next part of scripture. So affectionately longing for you, we were pleased. To impart to you, not only, give me a pen. Is there so affectionately longing to you, for you we were pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but to our own, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. What triggered this scripture was that I woke up, I saw my wife. I sleep in one of the rooms since she gave birth. Amen. Not because I am running away from responsibility, but because it's not me that God said I will in the role. I'm not the one that is the nursing mother. You understand? So it's not me that has breasts that do suck. So I left her in one of the rooms, and I arranged another room, and I started staying there so that I can be praying for them. Do you people understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes,
can I drink?
Yes, sir.
It's not even good, though, this coke you are saying. And so that, let me show you that it's not good. I'll take it for you so that you know it's not good. When you drink coke like this, it's not good. See the way I drank it? Don't drink coke. This is like how many months I said they should give me. I don't even know why I took this. It's a temptation. I just sat down and I said, keep it coke. All right. It's wrong. Amen. Cristiano Ronaldo removed it and kept it by the side. Told me to have kept my own. If he didn't taste, he would have not kept it. He said, so of course he has tasted before. Who told you he did not taste? So affectionately longing for you, blah, blah, blah. All right. Now, see what I said. Amen. I was watching her, just like Ochayana is going to see her own baby. And I noticed in the middle of the night, she ran to my door. I hardly sleep. Even if I'm sleeping, I'm not sleeping. So I just jumped up and opened the door. What happened? The baby almost fell. I mean, fell. She can't even tell whether the baby fell or not. I held the baby and looked at the baby and spoke some words and took the baby out from her and commanded the baby to sleep. Me, I used to command to sleep. Oh, I don't used to. So I'll be doing like this and saying, in the name of Jesus, sleep, sleep, sleep. Before they will start sleeping. Sharp, sharp. So I said, she should be on the bed. I'm coming. So as I entered the parlor and round the parlor like 3 times or 4 times, commanding the head to sleep. So she just started sleeping. And I brought her back. I said, here is your baby. So when I went to the room, later on, my spirit said, come and check them. So I stood up and I went to look. She was still sitting. Like, you know, when you sit upright on the bed. She was done breastfeeding. She was still in that posture. And the baby was sleeping. Ah, I felt emotional. And I said, ah, this woman is suffering. I am there sleeping. See how somebody is sleeping. Somebody is sleeping like she sat down. She's sleeping. Me, I'm there dozing up. And enjoying AC. She can't even put on AC because the baby, you understand what I'm trying to say? Well, me, in fact, the AC was too much. I had to cover myself very well. And I was enjoying myself. And I said to myself, Kai, this is so touching. I wish I can help this woman, but I can never help her. Because I'm not her. She's jealous. I'm not a woman. The best I can do is help the baby to sleep. And it's nothing compared to what they are going through. And you know, the reason why I don't like to talk about this thing sometimes is because if you say it, women will feel very happy. That's why sometimes I don't like to talk about it. Do not carry it on their head. We talk calm. That's what we... No, you're not supposed to feel like that. God that created you, you think he did not know that you would do this kind of thing? He gave you the ability to do it. Hope you know. That doesn't mean we should take that for granted. So we're trying to attest that's really something. That's wonderful. You know, that's something we should talk about and applaud. It's something wonderful. And everybody should respect a woman for that. Some men are laughing. Everybody should respect a woman for that. Is it true? Yes, sir. In fact, that's one of the reasons I feel like it cannot be 50-50. The way a woman takes care of a child is a lot. It's beyond this world. It's something. When I was reading the Bible, I saw it. I was like, "Ooh, it's in the Bible." I said, 1 Thessalonians 2:7-8. I said 11:12, and I said Galatians what? 4 what? So we're going to read it. You see, it is in the Bible. Paul. Listen carefully what I want to hit. The point I want to hit. Sometimes it's tiring raising people. The closest picture, the best picture is a nursing mother with her child. Do you people know that children don't care how you feel? Sometimes in the middle of the night, she will tell me the baby will be laughing. She'll be smiling. I'll be looking for a mother to play with her. So in the night while she's tired and looking for a way to sleep, people should be sleeping, the baby is playing, and now she's under pressure now to play with the child. So she will force herself. You go sometimes, you see her playing with the child when people are sleeping, and you know originally she wants to sleep. So I was just thinking deep. Sometimes she carried the child. Sometimes I come back home and my room is arranged. I say, who arranged it? She say, I'm the one. I say, ah, at all is well. And I continue moving. Sometimes I feel guilty because I would have done that, but I wanted to rush somewhere and come back before I did it. And then, you know, when I come back, I'll still manage it like that. So she still did it. Because it's my room. That's how pastoring can be with people. Pastor Richard says it's worst. It's like he has suffered small. Greeters, are you who suffering, Pastor Peter? If you are in greeters, raise your hand up. Pastor Peter says people it's worse. It's like people are suffering him. Are you sure? Pastor Peter, are they suffering you? He said he will soon cry. That's how pastoring can be. So affectionately longing for, we were well pleased in part not only the God, but ourselves. So ourselves are a living sacrifice. You can't be emotional when you are supposed to be emotional. You can't cry. Like, he feels like crying, but he can't cry. Like, this is a book. The person carries that say, are you sure it's a book? No, it should be a pencil. Do it like this. You know, pastoring can be very difficult. For me, it's the most difficult job on the earth. When I see people on the internet insulting pastors, I wish they could come, let's change profession. So that they die into it fast. Not everybody can pastor. Except God wants you to pastor, then he graces you for it. You know, I've seen people that I ask them, what is your problem? When they say the problem, I'm tempted to ask, is that why you are crying? But because I'm a pastor, I'll do like it's painful. That's not anything painful. That's one of the little things I saw at the beginning stage of my life, of pastoring. Why? They not lie to me. They not did that. They not say it's me that did. And I lose the opportunity. Okay. So what did happen? That's awesome. It's so painful. And I say, yeah, it's actually painful. God help you. Bring your hands. Let's pray. Father, console your daughter in the name of Jesus. The grace to carry on in the name of Jesus. That's something small. And that's why not everybody can be a leader. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here tonight? We've seen people who out of stubbornness, you know, sometimes it happens. Yeah, God can genuinely call somebody. But a lot of times, out of stubbornness, who just stand up and think the call of God is upon their life. You know, the truth is that when you grow under a ministry, firstly, you may be a nobody. And I'm not saying we make people as pastors. That's not what I'm trying to say. We are not God. Are we together? You may be, when I say nobody, nobody knows you. Nobody respects you. Nobody honors you necessarily. Just like the Bible said, God took some honor from Moses and he put it upon who? Jacob. Is it Jacob? Joshua, sorry. He took some honor from Moses and imparted Joshua. That means people respect Joshua because of who? Moses. It happens even in the ministry. That the only reason we know who they call Bishop Abioye is because of Bishop Oyedepo. That the only reason we know who they call Reverend Tom is because of who? Pastor Chris. That the only reason we know certain people is because of what? Certain people. That simply means if certain people never enter into their cup, possibility has it 90%. That some of these people today who are known, renowned in the whole world would have never even discovered their calling. Possibility has it. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because some people's destiny are revealing other people's destiny. That's how life is. That's how all of you seated there, you must match up to the call of God upon your life. Else, there are certain people that may not be touched because of your inability to match up to the call of God upon your life. Are you people listening to me? Are you here? I saw somebody sleeping. Don't sleep. For instance, the Bible says, in Romans 8, around 23, it said, we too, human beings who have the first fruit of the Holy Spirit, we groan and are burdened that, not that. The way he says it, he said that creation should be liberated in the glorious liberty of the sons. Alright, next part of scripture. Verse 22, right? It's 22. For we know that the whole creation labors, blah, blah, blah. 21. It says, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into what? The glorious liberty of the children of God. Meaning, if you don't walk in liberty, many people will not even walk in liberty. If you don't walk in freedom, many people will not walk in freedom. Listen, the call of God, if you really match up to what God has to destiny, let me put it like that, to destiny. Destiny can be, it's not only limited to preaching the gospel. It could be becoming an outstanding kingdom doctor. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Meaning you are a doctor, but not because, God is not excited just because you are a doctor. He put you in that field to use you around that area. Because I will not be able to touch everybody from the pulpit. God has to send some of us in diverse fields. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Alright? Now if you match up to what God wants you to do, the liberation will even start from your family. You observe that certain patterns will be broken. Certain barriers and limitations will be broken. As you now go into your world, your neighborhood, your world, there are a lot of people that will come to you with a problem similar to what you've dealt with. And before you know it, they are receiving their freedom. Because you were able to go beyond any issue and enter into sonship. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. So leadership is not a bed of roses. In fact, the way I'm explaining it now can prove that every believer is supposed to be a leader. Every believer is supposed to think like a leader. Because you are a leader. You can't be a believer and be in tech and God is looking for another person to use while you are there. He will use you. Of course, he will not use you when you are lousy. You must be hardworking. God likes to be proud with his own. You can say, I know God in tech, and the only thing you know how to program with is CSS and HTML. That's where you stop. You're not saying we are taking over tech. You will never take over tech. If God wants to take over tech, he would rather look for an unbeliever who knows so much, empower the person, and use him. Because you are being lazy. Or I'm saying not being slothful in business. You are being lazy. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Remember, he has said in his word, I'll bless the what? Meaning if you are not working, you will not see the hand of God upon your life. You should be working. So, why sometimes we have to steer these things? Because I think I'm saying this before I continue. That ministry, alright? Because we have diversities of ministry. What I mean by diversity of ministries is that we have several ministries, different ministries upon the face of the earth, does not mean that we have a different message. The message is what? The same. Now listen carefully. This is very tricky. God can steer you, not call you. God can steer you to emphasize a certain aspect of the gospel message in a certain geographical location because of what is lacking there. But that doesn't translate to God calling you to preach that message in your ministry. Did you get what I just said? Take for instance GCMI. Maybe God sees that GCMI needs to be taught in the aspect of honor. They lack something in the aspect of honor. So prophet just comes and 2-3 Sundays is emphasizing honor. I'm sure some of you have seen me sometimes emphasizing a particular thing for a while. That doesn't mean that is the message of the gospel. Whatever I'm emphasizing part time. What it actually means is that something is happening that God wants to address with what I am saying. So he's emphasizing it. There's emphasis on what I'm saying. But that emphasis is not the gospel message on its own. It's part of the gospel message. So God cannot call somebody that he should focus and preach on relationship. It should focus and preach on deliverance. No. Because while I'm teaching on a relationship, what if people need to be delivered in the church? Do you people get what I'm trying to explain? Why not teaching on relationship? What if people need money in the church? Will I not tell them that God can give money? What if I'm teaching on relationship and a couple, their problem is because the man is on a wheelchair? Will I just be encouraging the woman, stay with him and keep on pushing him all his life? Even though that is a possibility, I should be able to lay hands on the sick and they should be what? Healed. Are you people getting on trying to explain to you? Very important. That's one side of it. Secondly, understand that as a Christian, you don't have the liberty to walk anywhere you want to walk. No. No. Probably these are things that should be done in ministry classes, but you can't even hear it here because I feel fresh teaching it. You can't walk everywhere. Not everybody can be your pastor. In fact, if everybody is your pastor, you have no pastor. Because a pastor goes beyond the job of giving you a doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:16. He goes beyond the job, the ability to just give you doctrine, the responsibility to just give you doctrine. Let's see it in the Bible. All scripture are given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for what? For what? For what? And for what? You see that? We go beyond what? Doctrine to what? Reproof. A pastor is supposed to reprove you. A pastor is supposed to correct you. A pastor is supposed to what? Instruct you. In what? The right way of doing things. Alright. Sister Amaka or Ms. Amaka, I saw something in your status that was wrong. As a child of God, you should not post such a thing. A pastor has the responsibility to tell you that. And say, delete it. It's wrong. Don't leave it on your status. He reproves that it's wrong. He corrected. And is what? Instructing. Do you know it gets to this point where even in your relationship, the man of God may just come on a Sunday morning filled with the Holy Spirit. We are not God. Please don't mistake us for God. We are not. We can never be God. Now, since God has called us your shepherds, don't you think God will make sure you don't make mistake through us since we are your shepherd? Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? And so because your friends can't talk to you about that matter, you've made up your mind on the guy or the woman. Your friends cannot even talk to you because he'll give them 1,000 reasons and more why it must be that guy or that woman. And pastor is just, he's not praying about that matter. He's just operating the laptop, preparing someone, and he sleeps off. Then he's in a vision. And in the vision, he sees Ene with a certain young man walking down the aisle. And immediately after wedding, they slap her. And she almost hit her head on the wall. And God can even go deeper and give him the name of the man. And then the name starts with J, Joseph, Johnson. So he comes to her. I said, Ene, please see me after service. Who is Joseph? Or who is Johnson? And Ene said, hey! God said, that is not your husband. Now somebody elsewhere who is ignorant of the things of God may say, a pastor does not have right to choose a husband. He did not choose. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? We don't even have right to choose your husbands for you. Who are we? Do I know your husbands? How can I choose a husband? That's the worst thing to ever do in your life. If you make that mistake as a pastor, you will suffer all the rest of your life. That you choose wife or husband for somebody. The moment one problem happens, is you that will be insulted first. That's your useless pastor that chose two of us together. If it's not that useless, you will suffer. Don't even make that mistake. But because God knows that you will listen to us, He inspires us to see your mistake and what? Correct you. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? This is the job of the local church. And sometimes you will actually not listen. It's the truth. Now, that doesn't mean that the pastor should drive you away from the church. Never. See, a pastor's job is more like a dirty job. I tell you the truth. Well, I'm not trying to make myself look hyped or anything, but it's the truth. It's more like a dirty job. You get, all the junk comes to you. All the rubbish comes to you. And yet, it's not like you are a dull person that is useless or blah, blah, blah. You see what Paul was saying? He said, we have to even give ourselves to you. Meaning we have sacrificed ourselves. Do to us whatever you want to do. We don't even have the right. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes. He said, feed my sheep. He didn't say, if you love them, feed them. He said, because you love me, feed them. Because at some point you feel like beating the hell out of them. But you have no right to do that. But feed them. Meaning, they are behaving like foolish people. Still carry the bread and put in their mouth and say, eat. So he told Peter, it is because you love me, you will do it. He said, 3 times he called Peter. Do you love me? He said, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Do you love me? 3 times. It's difficult. You get unappreciated. Appreciate. You know, sometimes my wife, she asks me a question. Is that person you pray for? Is that person blah, blah, blah? I pick up. No. We see a lot of cases. And people that call. When you are done, they'll just forget about you like you never existed. These are people you have in the midnight. Your wife will see you doing. Blah, 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 not even a thank you. In fact, some foolishly will go and do Thanksgiving in another church. It happens. Now, that doesn't mean we're angry. But the Bible says, give honor to whom honor is what? Due. Someone like me now, the truth is that I'm not trying to say something that will make you excited. I've never in my life called somebody and say, come and appreciate the anointing for what you receive. I've never done it since they born me. And I'll never do it. A lot of people that have hurt me, they don't even know they've hurt me. We are still greeting very well. How far now? Because I don't even want them to know. If they know one time in the future, fine. God has forgiven them. Let's keep on moving. Because they did not call me into the ministry. But meanwhile, it's not everyone that can do that. Why we're saying this morning is because we want you to understand that the enemy is why sometimes you misbehave. I've said this several times. Misbehave in the house of God. There should be order, but sometimes you are just misbehaving unnecessarily. You that saw yourself in your own eye, remember that scripture that Samuel, that part of scripture where Samuel was talking to King Saul. He said, you had seen yourself small in your own eye. Now you are thinking you are very big. He said, you were small. Meaning when God called him to be king, he was even doubting. He said, I was not qualified to be king. But the point came, Saul would not even hear the prophet again. They said, no, release all the animals, kill everything. He left some. He was not telling the prophet what he wants to do. He said, I will sacrifice some for God. Samuel came, he said, I thought you killed all the animals. He said, yes, I killed. He said, why am I hearing moo, moo, moo inside the palace? Which animals are... He said, and the people said, we should keep it. Blah, blah, blah. I sacrifice it to God. Then he told him, obedience is better than what?
Sacrifice.
Sometimes you have to be aware. Sometimes we have to make you understand that it is a devil. All of a sudden, you that was nice. It's very disturbing. You see somebody so devoted to God, all of a sudden, bah, the person is just, hey, why? Everything scatters. Don't want to listen to anybody. Friends are advising here and there, not listening. Don't you think that that's the devil? You know, if you want to know, sometimes go back, check your post, check your sermons, check the things God has said about you. Go and read them again. Do it almost every time. It will steer conviction on your inside. It will keep you on the right path. Paul said sometimes you have to gather yourself up and check yourself to know if you are within the parameters of the faith. Because sometimes you can be off the faith. You must learn to be very sincere with yourself. Bible says judge yourself so that you may not be judged. Meaning sit with scriptures. Look at yourself. Vet yourself. Because if you don't do that, God will judge you finally. But if you judge yourself right now, you will not be judged. Are you listening to me? And all of those things, they cause some little limitation in the house of God. Because you see, the church is supposed to be the pillar, fortress of truth, revival, and kingdom. But you see, if you don't understand these things, if you pattern with Satan and allow him to disturb your mind, get you disorganized, get you misbehaving in church, you'll be limiting the move of the Spirit. And it's not like you are Alpha and Omega. What I mean is that you cannot entirely limit it. You may limit it for a while. God can replace you. But it's a big taboo. It's a taboo if God replaces you. You know, some people can be stupid sometimes. I was trying to judge a case one time. I think it was about relationship, and I was then the person was saying they were in a relationship, and we heard that the persons were saying if they don't allow us in a relationship, what is there? We'll leave church. So I laughed about it, and I said, "Let you allow them; they are children." That's the report I give. So everybody allow them. They are staying in church, serious with God. But if they sit down and remember those days they said that in, they'll see how stupid they were. If we wanted to react, would have reacted in the flesh. And they would have become more stupid. Are you people listening to me? How can you, because of relationship that is wrong, and your leaders are trying to correct you, and if you check the relationship, they entered stupidly. How did they enter? They were just okay, joking. They are in love. And it's not cologne mentor. You are just talking with each other. You now fall in love. Are you not stupid? You don't even know yourself from anywhere. You came to church, found yourself. Start talking. Talk like mad people. In the night, you are talking. In the night, what did you hear? Fall in love. Well, I love the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said what? What did the Holy Spirit say? Is that how they fall in love? We are helping you. You don't know yourself yet. Then after 3 years, you find out this is not the woman I'm supposed to be with. What have you done? You have now destroyed your, made terrible mistakes for 3 years. Then you expect us to be like fools and be watching you do that? Not in this church. You rather go. Of course, for those people, they still break up. Because it cannot happen under my watch. Why? I know that two of you don't have sense. It's the truth. So these are some of the little things. We can't allow it. No matter the description you go and insult us on, we still will not allow it. I go beyond giving you doctrine. The Bible said I have the right to reprove you. I have the right to what? Correct you. And I have the right to what? Instruct you in righteousness. There are some people in different states thanking me. In fact, it's like placing me on salary. They remember campus days while we're still pastoring on campus. When they think of it and call me, they always try to send. My wedding, where I said, I was seeing money from people I don't even remember. You pastor me, I said, I pastor you too. They sent. Pastor, I want to thank you for that advice. You advised me under at Union Park. I want to thank you for that advice. You advised me around sociology department. Which advice? I can't even remember. I remember someone that misbehaved one time and he left church. I was praying and the Holy Spirit was bothering me to talk to the person. And I was like, God, this is strange. And immediately I doubt, he had so much trouble. And the relationship that even led him away from church, he had broken up from the relationship. That was what led him away from church. Him and the lady, they left. And you know, sometimes, we can't claim that we have not made certain foolish mistakes before, even as men of God. So, the Bible said, forgive us our sins as we what? Forgive those that trespass against us. You know, at some point, we have made some little mistakes, or probably great mistakes. So, sometimes when we sit down, we understand that the mistake are not the individuals. It was probably just a mistake, a phase of their life. I remember the individual, the young man at that point, he was so drunk in the relationship that he would start having issues with even people in church because of the lady. Lady would complain about this person, would have problem, complain about it. It was becoming stupid. And I called him one day, I said, you are a woman rapper, you have become a woman rapper. That a young, indisciplined lady who has not grown, over 19 thereabout, is making you an old man behave stupid. What makes you a man is not that you are buying flour and kneeling down alone. Your ability to say, I wouldn't buy that, I wouldn't do that, also is what makes you a man and a good covering. Don't think to be a good covering means if you want ice cream, we buy ice cream. If you want suya, we buy suya. You want burger. I've celebrated Mama T's birthday at Star Shawarma by just sitting down. When we sat down, we stood up and walked. I went back home. She took bike, I took trekking. She went home and she said happy birthday. I went home and I slept. That's how the birthday went down. No kululu, no kalala. They still married me. Because I cannot touch money from church to go and buy a burger. I cannot do anything to impress her. I told her, today no money. It's unfortunate, it's your birthday. We had sown some seeds, I've given money for some things, and happy birthday, my dear. And I said, let's go and sit at Shashama. We sat down for a while. I said, Pastor Simon, what are you doing here? I said, we just want to rest. Let's go. We stood up and we walked home. Did I die? Now, sometimes I'll just be passing. If I remember, I'll buy burger. But I can buy any kind of burger she wants for herself. But I did not try to impress her. Any woman you are trying to impress, you know, if you are a young man here and you are impressing a lady, you feel like if you don't impress this lady, she will not marry you. You are in a wrong relationship. If you need to impress any woman, you are in a wrong relationship. The right relationship will not put you under pressure. If there's something you must buy for her to like you better, you are in a wrong relationship. Am I teaching you to be greedy? No. A greedy man is a bad man. It should be at one corner. We're not talking about them. We're not teaching you to be greedy. If Adam had stopped Eve from eating from the wrong tree, it would have looked like Adam hated Eve. You don't love me. You did not eat. You did not allow me to eat. Sit down. Sit down. He said, Paul said, a woman should not even go to church with her hair uncovered. Meaning she should not even go to church without the permission of her husband. You want to marry a lady? You observe she is doing some demonstration of the spirit that are wrong. You can tell her, stop it. Yes. You just sit down. You just stand up in the public and start dancing. Hey! I see. Don't run away from the relationship yet. Calm down. Hold a hand and say, stop this. See. Stop this. See. Sit down. Stop behaving foolish. What are you seeing? Lay hands and say, get out from this body, you demon. Because in the New Testament, we don't see like, Rrr. That's not what we see in the New Testament. When we see, we still have sense. When you see things you are not sure of, correct it. And the Lord showed me, when I reached out to the young man, they had broken up, she had entered several relationships and come out, and immediately she came back to the same person. And that's when the Lord told me to show up. I told him, so now I see. Don't make another mistake. He was so happy. Now me, he that made him, that did all the stuff, whatever, is still me. God picked to go and save him from problem. When I finished everything, I felt so much peace in my heart. And I told God, what of me? How about my steeds? Hallelujah to Jesus. It had to be me. No, nothing. God just put us there. He doesn't care whether we have glory, whether shame. Let everything just pour upon us. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you must wake up. Sometimes it is the enemy flowing. It is what? It is what? And most times, it is the enemy. And some of you, you will go out there, listen carefully. I may speak like I'm proud, but I'm not being proud. You go and see people like you, who have no bearing. They don't have a church they are submitted to. You see this thing happening with Easy Concept, whatever they call them online, arguing about money and the rest, royalties and whatsoever. It's one thing that can solve that thing. If they have people they are answerable to, as pastors. I'm here then, or chair or Sonny stand up and say, somebody did not pay them money? Me? Is it disgrace to me? I would tell them to forget about it and sit down in church. And that's all. It settles that matter. That's what I always tell you, to be accountable to what? Somebody. Now he's painting a whole wrong picture in the church. People are even using it to mock us, that church people are fighting for YouTube money. So some of you go out there, you have friends who are not accountable to no pastor, they don't have any church. They are called to the body of Christ. Have you heard people that talk like that? Talk to me, church. Have you heard people that talk like that? They will tell you they are called to the, they don't have a church where they are being pastored. Everywhere they are there, every Sunday. How do you grow? See, it is concussion you are receiving. Every Sunday, even if you are the one ministering, you can't grow. Listen, it's the truth. That's why sometimes you see these gospel behaving like they don't know the Bible. Because your job is to go to every church on Sunday. Something needs to grow with you. You need to build on the word. Before you see, you know, you see a video that is looking at, like an unbeliever. You see things like unbelievers. Because they are not accountable to nobody. And Satan wants to push this thing, this narrative in the church. And sometimes when they have the money, he's trying to pass a message that it is cool to follow this path because you will do well. What does it mean by doing well? You will get money. And a lot of young people who are on the right track are tempted to delve into this wrong path because of mammon. I would say, what does it profit a man if he gains the what? And what? A story was said about a gospel artist many years ago. I think he said the story himself. That he was known everywhere. Are you here? Please listen carefully. He was known everywhere. So you can tag this second service, probably administration or something. He was known everywhere. The first one is the love of the Father, right? I mean, you don't know the topic. And celebrated everywhere. Then God led him to this man of God. He said when he went to the man of God, he was so shocked because they did not even recognize his presence. So he went to the church. Nobody said, hey, so person is here. Let's celebrate him. The church was so cool. The man of God did like he didn't even come. He just went to his office. Because the man of God said, I wanted to recognize his presence. But the Holy Spirit told me not to do it. So 3 Sundays, the guy did not come. On the 4th Sunday, he now showed up. And when he was done, he still went back. Did not recognize the guy. Then the guy came to the office and said, sir, I am so person. He said, yeah, I know. He said, sir, but you didn't look like you knew me. You were doing stuff like, he said, I knew you. But the Lord told me not to introduce you. But for now that you have come, it's cool. It means you are humble. What's your problem? He said, I've been addicted to pornography and what masturbation for several years. And the man of God looked at him and said, you? He said, yes. And he has been singing many songs for people in the body of Christ. I'm not trying to mock him because he openly confessed it. What is the lesson we learned there? He was telling people to be accountable. That's what the singer was saying. He said, if you don't have a pastor, you will struggle with a lot of things. People will think you are doing well, but you are not doing well. You may look like you are shining, but internally you are being eaten up by the devil. So many people, listen to me, church, they don't believe in church administration. It is Satan that is pushing that narrative. A lot of young people like you don't even have where they sit and hear the word of God every Sunday. They are moving from one place to another, one place to another. And that is why you see somebody in church, before you know, she's pregnant. Before you know, he has made somebody pregnant. Because they are not growing. It's matter ministry. Jesus came into the house. What did he tell Martha? Mary was seated, right? Huh? When Mary sat down and was listening to Jesus, Martha was walking. And Mary was like, stand up, let's make food for the master. What did Jesus say to her? He said, Martha, Mary, this status quo. It's not like Jesus wouldn't want to eat food. But at the moment that the word of God is being spoken, Mary has chosen the word. The better part, the right part. Meaning you can be working for God, though, but no matter what you are doing for God, make sure you are always sitting down to hear the word of God. It is more important.
And that's why sometimes when you see me come to church, I'm watching everybody. Because you can be easily distracted. You will not know there's an effect. The technical person is not always sitting. He's not hearing. One day, you hear the technical people, person in relationship with five ladies in church. You think it's a coincidence? It's not. Why do you think instrumentalists in most churches are committing atrocities? You'll be building a church as a pastor before you know instrumentalists will scatter it. They have dated five girls. I used to grow up and hear those kind of stories. I was an instrumentalist. I played the drums. I didn't know what we were discussing even in church. That's why when I started church here, the first people I committed my life to are this set of people. Have you heard how they quote scriptures here? Most of you will not know, they'll be giving me the scriptures there. Why? And I made up my mind, no matter how you know how to play in this town, if you don't go to School of Glory, School of Ministry, you will not play here. I remember many years ago, there's a young man, well known in drumming, I wouldn't call the church, came with his pastor friend to my house. Popular church in town here, very good drummer. If I call his name, everybody will be shocked here. He now said, Pastor, I like your church and sometimes I wish I can come and play. You know, your choice of songs, the way your guys are. I said, fine. Yeah. He said, but I hear that people in your church are very disciplined. They don't move around, blah, blah, blah. He said, me, I cannot do School of Glory. You know, I'm just coming to help the church. And then, in the joke, under the atmosphere of the joke, I said, we don't need you. He said, sir, I don't understand. You are joking. I said, no, I'm not joking. We don't need you. I said, if you must be here, you must go through School of Glory. You must. He said, no, even daddy, so he called his daddy wherever they were. They did not force me to go for this, you know. In fact, they are paying me. I said, that's him, oh. I don't care. I said, me, you must go. If you don't want to go, you must still go. Two must go will happen. Go for Bible school or go away from church. Those are the two things. He said, no, sir, me, the way people are. I said, yes, you. The other pastor said, calm down. That's Prophet Simon for you. And I told him, I said, most times I don't even need drumming. I just need keyboard. So if they play me keyboard, I'm good to go. He was so shocked. I'm not trying to brag. But I don't need you. You think I'm looking for people to come and play again? No! Come and grow. Yes, it's beautiful if you come. But you must know the word of God first. Else you become a point man for Satan in the church. We are gathering everywhere. Satan is looking for a place to flow. The Bible says when he looked at Judas, Judas was liking money. He now flowed through Judas because Judas what? Liked money. And affected, you know, not affect, everything worked for good. But he was able to penetrate into the 12 and to Jesus because of who? Judas. Why? Because Judas liked money. So you are in church, you are not paying attention to some people. Some like money, some like women. You must pay attention and kill all of those things. Take for instance, now you are going to a church, you left the instrumentalists, and they are liking women. Satan, because of what he has seen, what flowed through them to women. I know a church those days on campus, the busies was coming to visit. And the pastor was considering him highly because he was playing in one of the most top churches in town. And one time he now decided, because he had some musical friends who were in the church, so he liked the church, he decided to be part of the church. And one day the pastor, we're gisting with the pastor, we're very close that time on campus, he now told me the young man dated almost five ladies in the church. How did they know? The ladies started fighting. Three of them, leave my boyfriend. In the choir, you dated like five, and he's had his way with several of them. The pastor said, I almost cried in my office. I told the guy, don't ever come near my church. He said, He said, I told God, I'm telling this guy that I've lost him as a soul. He should go. I'm not the one to win him. He said, don't come close to this church. Don't ever dial my number. Don't ever tell anybody you know this church. Leave the church. That's how he drove the guy from the church. He did it the hard way. Am I saying that we should give up on people like that? Or no, that's what I'm saying. But you see, because he didn't do what was supposed to be done, this situation had to what? Happen. So sometimes you go out there, you meet people who don't have a background. They don't understand anything about ministry. They are teaching you how to live your life. Now some of them even questioning your commitment to your church.
So why did you go to church every time? You must there. You must do that. You must do. You must do. You must. You must. You must. Why? No, me nobody if you talk to me like that. That's a disorderly person. There's nothing to celebrate there. That's foolishness in display. The Bible says, when I was a child, I did everything, anything I wanted to do. He said, but when I grew up, what did the Bible say? He said, one took me by the hand. Right? Hey, church, are you here? A child, you do anything you want to do. He said, but when I grew up, one what? Took me by the hand and led me to the places I didn't want to go to. A sign of maturity in the kingdom is not that you are doing anything that comes to your mind. Are you listening to me? Is that you are being led by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit say have a pastor, have a pastor. If the Holy Spirit say have a local church, have a local church. If the Holy Spirit say do the work of the ministry, we all are supposed to Ephesians 4. We all are supposed to do the work of the ministry. You all should do the work of what? The ministry. Many as you are coming to church, be asking the Holy Spirit, where do you want me to function? Help me select where to function properly. So don't go out there and hear people who don't know anything about the things of God teaching you all of these things. It's important we share these things to you. You can't be a hazard as a Christian. You are everywhere. You are listening to everything. There will be a big trouble. That's why Paul warned the Galatians church in Galatians 3. He said, Oh, ye what? What did he say at the end? Who has bewitched you from the truth? Having begun in the spirit, do you want to end in the flesh? And I asked a question to my friend years ago. I said, if Paul can teach something, and another person can come and convince the people away from what Paul taught, then there's a problem. Who am I, Prophet Simon? That you are done teaching something like this as Paul, that everybody is celebrating in the whole world. Paul was done teaching a church something. And when Paul went to see that, another person came and said, what Paul said was not right. And they followed the person. I asked a question. I said, how will Paul convince the people that he heard from God? No way. Imagine Paul is saying, see, don't hear anybody else. So what I'm telling you is the truth. Will Paul not look stupid before the people? Imagine I come this Sunday and I'm saying, hey, what I'm telling you is the truth. Don't go and hear another person. I may be sounding stupid. Some of you will say, this pastor is having a problem. He's scared. He's feeling challenged by other pastors. No. That's why you have the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. But of course, not everybody has gotten to that height where they can differentiate truth from what is not truth. So you have to guide them, just like your children. Some of us have kids. Your child may carry a knife and is bringing it to the neck. What will you do? Will you say, no, knife is not used on the neck. Don't do it next time. Then you say, bye-bye. What will you do? Collect it. Some mothers will not just collect, they'll steal. So that you understand that this thing, you should not touch it again. And the next time the boy goes there, if he sees a knife, he will remember what? And he will change to another place. That's how all of you that will get married. Don't teach your wife how to discipline your child. Allow them. Don't be claiming I love my child, don't beat him. Allow them. If they hit the hand, know that it's for righteousness. My baby was sucking her thumb. I didn't think it's a problem. Anytime my wife will hit the hand, meet her or hit her hand. Why are you doing this? It's just a baby. Is she not still sucking the breast? He said, but Simon is not good. I'm telling you. I said, don't hit her. Don't teach her a bad thing. That's not how you train a child. Why are you beating her? She's innocent. And sometimes when they beat her, she would look at me. When she look at me, and I show the reaction that I'm angry, then she'll start crying. Then I'll not carry the hand and say, she continue what she's doing. Daddy's girl. Until one day, in the middle of the night, it's always middle of the night, she now was worried. But Simon, she's not sucking. I said, why is she not sucking? Force her to suck. They put her, she will remove her. She'll be crying. Immediately she stopped, they keep her down. She will now carry her thumb. So she was almost crying. She said, you see, I've been telling you this thing, you're not hearing. See now, the baby,
I said, calm down. She now took one hand glove and put on her hands. So she can't find her thumb again. So she was crying for over 1 hour. I was feeling one kind. Well, I heard she cried for over 1 hour. I was not there because I didn't hear the cry. But when I came back later, she, you know, when I took her, I pampered her. And when I pampered her, I gave her back to the mom and she started sucking. Then later she woke up like 1 hour crying, looking for this thumb to suck. See, breast, suck, no, it's thumb she wants to suck. So the mother refused to remove the... So she cried, the mother still refused. After a while, she started sucking the breast. Now, if you go to the house, there's one hand glove in the hands. And she's now better because she's preferring to... So that means before she was assuming her breast, the mother's breast for what? So she will suck her thumbs and be satisfied. Be satisfied for doing nothing. Then I checked the thumb one time. It was looking too fresh. Why to force her to stop? That's how it is in church sometimes. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Some of you are sucking your thumb. Meaning you like coming to church late. But when you come to church, you see that will cry more in service. I am your own. Hey, whoa. I am your... You kneel down to the day that you will go. Jesus, if you leave me, where will I be? If you leave me, where will I be? The next Sunday, late, it's not like she's even coming late. She's coming late, catwalking. She's catwalking. Some are coming late, pressing their phones. They don't even know how to greet pastors. This is a pastor. But Peter, how far now? I was thinking, how can somebody be coming to a church, sitting in a church, hearing the word of God, and cannot give in the church? How do you claim to love God if you cannot give in the church? I was wondering. You can't even give a quality offering, your tithe, a partnership, and you are a member of a church. And how do you think the light is on? How do you think you have fans that blow you? How do you think the whole is being paid for? Not everybody is like that. There are some people like that. And some like to feel like the poorest in church. You know, some people have this mentality of receiving alone. They don't have the mentality of giving. Meanwhile, the Bible said it is more blessed what? When we're growing up, let me take you back to our Gargajiya days of Christianity. When we're growing up as Christians, there's a certain cloth you buy that our spiritual father will question you. It's a program day, now you buy that kind of cloth. How much be the cloth? We all know the price. We will shout 12,000, sir. You use 12,000. Ha! You just start crying. If he's done talking to you, you start crying. Then he will tell you, no. God cannot use you. That's it. No. The way God can't use you at all. You are greedy. It's not maybe you are greedy. It is you are greedy. I remember one time I was talking to a sister. He said, we have not paid for this thing for the program. He went and made this hair. How much is this we've won? She said, the amount. He said, hey, you bought it with your money. And he looked at her and said, that's very wrong. You know, we today, we don't know how to preach those kind of preaching. We don't have the mind. Because now if pastor talk one, members will talk 10. So, our mind used to do boo, boo, boo. But look at it critically. You are in a church. You don't partake in the things that happen in the church. You don't give in the church. And we are always seeing you with hair. Let's use women, for example. Hair of 150,000. 200,000. Let's be very realistic. Well, partnership. You have not even started. You are still thinking about it. Now, if you are God, God Almighty, if you are God Almighty, what will you say? How will you judge this case? Will you declare that person righteous?
No, you can't. And if you are God, will you empower that person to be keep on buying hair? Did God send us to this world to buy hair? Imagine you now. See, for instance, my Betty Nanda has cut her hair. Is this in the departmental stuff? Because your HOD cut her hair. Be on your feet, let them see you. Fine girl. Come. You are shy. What is there? You barb your hair. You like it. That's why. If you don't want this, then why did you come like this to church with it? Come. African queen. Betty. Look at the church. Are you shy? Is she not looking beautiful? Answer me, church. Is she not looking beautiful? Some people are saying they prefer in your hair. Don't mind them. Oh. This one is more like sacrifice for the next phase, right? Anytime you ask ladies, why did you cut your hair? They say they did it because they want more hair. Something like that. Now she's looking at... You know why I want to use her as an example? Because there are some things I've used her to teach in leadership one time. And I'm going to use her as a practical example. Paul used to use people as example in scriptures. The first... You know, when she started her job, as a computer scientist in certain firm, I think her first salary, I even thought it was more. I didn't know it was less than what I was saying. She was collecting over what? 100. So I thought she was collecting like, what was I saying that time? I can't remember. 200. Because she was partnering. Over 50,000 thereabout. That's what she used to partner. She was now left with 50,000. So me, I thought she was collecting 200. I didn't know she was collecting 100,000, but she was partnering 50,000. And when I look at her, I know she has not really gotten all the things she wants as a woman. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know, as a woman, there are certain things you want to have. You want to have like 5 hair. You want to have like 5 shoes. You want to have like 5 perfumes. Then you now remember God. But she was partnering and using the rest. I didn't know. I honestly, till one day I heard her giving testimony. And anytime I said, she just keep quiet. Till God even did it better. What do you call it now? 220. Hallelujah to Jesus. And still partnering. We did not say she should increase it. She was still partnering like that. Hallelujah to Jesus. Of course, that's the least. We are coming to a point where we hear 500. To a point where we hear 1 million. And you know why God is committed to such people like this? Because of the heart. Of course, you have heard the testimony surrounding her job and the rest. How she got her job. After a Tuesday service, I heard that there's a job offer for a computer scientist. And I asked, where are these computer scientists? And they said Nathaniel was writing project. He was still schooling. So I said, no, he can't gamble that. How about Gina? That's the first person. I said, what about Gina? They said, Gina, blah, blah, blah. She has traveled. I said, okay, who again did computer science, like did programming? And they said, Betty, I haven't smiled when they called your name. But I don't remember that your big laptop. She used to have a laptop like Transformer. That time at Petra. So anytime I go to Petra, I see her coding. And I think she was, Pastor, I will come and see, Prophet, see what we have done. I will say her own too. But when she owned the laptop, she said, the thing is big. And I used to laugh. And I remember that she did coding. I said, okay. Can you remember? She said, no, not really. And I said, Nathaniel, this night, do brainstorm. Remind her of everything she has done. We'll give her the certificate. She should go and apply. That's how she applied. Right now, I'm watching her status. The thing she knows in coding is really her story. I think she has no more than me now. Do you know what I'm saying? You have Sabi more than me now. It's the truth. She's very good. Hallelujah to Jesus. Extremely good. That's how she started working. But there are some that you can't have 100 and partner 50,000. It's not possible. Because your cream, how much is it? One time I did an analysis with one guy in church. I won't mention names. for security reasons. To secure his heart, because some people will start using it against him. I kept two of them. I don't want to give you so much detail so that you know the person. They were in my office together. And I said, you are getting fair. What cream are you rubbing? He called the cream. I said, how much? He said, 6,000, maybe 7,000, 10,000. I said, what? See, all my life till today. Do you know what I rub? Vaseline. Pomade. When I have Vaseline finished, we rub oil. Now my wife has a problem with me. You know my problem? I'm sharing Vaseline with the baby. And when I said, Pastor Simon, go and buy your own. I'll say, leave her. We are one. We are one. It's my baby. We are our baby. We are one. I'll buy my own baby after service. Please remind me. Because she has been reminding me to buy my own. Since they born me, it's pomade. Vaseline. I'll be rubbing. And I told him, hey, 10,000 for cream. That's a sin. And I said, no wonder your face is full of. You trust Prophet Simon. I give him some analogy. I said, see. And I called Betty. That time she had hair. So I called her to come. She had hair that time. Even the Bible says the beauty of a woman. You should stop cutting your hair. I'm using style to talk to you in this church. Sit down first so that I do not know that it's you I'm talking to. She had hair that time. The way she's beautiful now, she was more beautiful that time. She's very beautiful now. I mean, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Are you confused? And I said to him, I said, see how this woman is fine. Don't you like, see how she's fine and set, beautiful. And she's using what? I asked her, she said, that time was what? Let me not assume. Vaseline, and she's finer than you. I said, from now, go to Vaseline. You know, I said, man, there are certain things they taught us. It's not a joke. You're not using 10,000. Why? You are any winning if it's 100,000, 10,000. So you give tight 10,000. You give Vaseline 10,000. Your cream 10,000. Why? That's why I told somebody that was selling soap to me. I said, don't add that soap price though. I'm using style now to tell her in church. It was 3,500. It became 4,000. It became 5,000. It became 6,000. I said, I'll buy. If he passes 6,000, count me out. Soap that I used to know that time was 250 packets. So Pastor Simon has poverty mindset. Me, poverty mindset. I was about to buy you a phone. I said, how much? Say 1,000,000. I say, no problem. Send the money. Let me buy the phone. Me, buy phone more than 200. My wife is using iPhone Infinity. Me, I'm using iPhone. And I've never sat down and say, hey, I wish I can. No. The only thing I need in a phone is space. Space. I'm not saying it's wrong to have good phones. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But this is the point. Godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. Be contented. Because of the work of God, there are some sacrifices you must make. There are certain sacrifices you must make. In fact, do you know because of the love of God, there are certain people you cannot marry. Because they'll sway you out of your commitment from God. You know, some of you know. You are seeing a gangster you want to marry in the name of love. The Bible did not say love anybody. The Bible says, what did the Bible say? It says, husband, love your wife. Meaning, marry sharp before you start loving if it's God's will. You can marry and start loving in the marriage. Are we safe? Okay. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Did you catch what I just said? Husband, love your wife. Meaning get married when God say get married. The love, you can learn it in the marriage. Say, Pastor Simon, what are you teaching? The ones that are claiming they love each other on TV that you are watching, are they not divorced? I cannot marry a woman that her body is not like that and his head is not like this. Are they not divorced? Those days our parents would just come from one village and say, hey, I see one flower in your house that we want to pluck. The person that they are plucking the flower for has not even seen the flower. The mother just went to the market in a certain village and she became friends with one woman. That's all. Then the daughter came and she said, my son will really, this is your daughter, my son, let's talk about this. They will talk, they will go and bring son. Son had no option. Carry. They are now like 50 years in marriage. You, your own, you saw everything you wanted. You asked all the questions. You had all the information. Now you have broken up. You have not even survived marrying each other. Am I communicating to you? I hope you are not feeling fired up. You are not feeling embarrassed. Are you here? Even who to marry. Are you listening to me? Even the kind of friends to have. You can't be a Christian. The Bible says, as a Christian, do not indulge yourself with what? Civilian affairs. Meaning there are certain places you can never be. One time they called me to come and play a match because I play football sometimes. So they called me that I should come and play one league, whatever, whatever. I started laughing. I said, Pastor, you play good. Come and help us in the midfield. And I looked at them. I said, today is Tuesday. You know what happens today? I said, it's my midweek service. I said, Pastor, you can just play. Then you can run now. You can help us. You just play for first half. I said, no. I can't play first half and go and bab. I have to gather my mind for service. So why do I talk? And I said to them, if you don't know, when there is nothing in this world that I can be able to do, if I look at my family, look at church, look at everybody visiting, if I don't see anything else to do, that is when I consider to play football. I say, know that from today. That means if I have anything in this world, I'll not play football. Until I have nothing to do, that's when I'll come and play. They just look at me and they give up. They left. I was not trying to insult them. That's not priority for me. That's not my assignment. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? I know the call of God upon my life. It's when I don't have anything to do that I play football. But what if you find me playing football on a Tuesday service? Then I come late and say, hey, listen guys, I was in the football field and we won 2-0. Sorry for coming late. Some people, the Holy Spirit is the one that will push you from this church. It's not me. The Holy Spirit will just tell you, stand up, move, move, move. You see yourself moving. He will be dragging you to move. He wouldn't want you under this useless atmosphere. Because I'm not being serious. Now, if I can play ball before coming for service, why will you not go and watch ball serve while service is happening? So, as a Christian, you cannot indulge, as a soldier of Jesus, you cannot indulge in what? Civilian affairs. They say there's a reception somewhere, and you have a riaza. Reception and riaza. Which one is more important? Our logical mind will say reception. Because I know the person. And because they are sharing rice. But if you are truly mature as a Christian, you know that if they invite you for a wedding and you have an evening program, what do you do? You stand up in the morning, go for the service. That's why if you see me in most weddings, I'm always at the service. If I'm not at the service, then I come and stand outside and make sure the people that know me see my face. Then I turn out. If not, I'm always at the service. Because I know there's something I have to do in the evening. So when I attend church service, I leave. So if you want to ever invite me for any wedding in this life, the only thing I'm using style to tell you now I can ever make is church service. And I'll come back home. Even people that are going, there's a wedding I'm supposed to join in Abuja. It's only church service. Don't expect put me as father of the day or anything. Because as I'm finishing service, I've thinned out. It's the truth. I'm coming back to church for Sunday service. Hallelujah to Jesus. Is it because I don't want to be in reception for people I love? No. But it is less important than what God wants me to do. And even in economics, there's what we call scale of what? Preference. Some things are more important than other things. Cream and partnership, which one is more important? So for partnership's sake, we use Vaseline. And you'll be so shocked Vaseline will work together for your good. Now, look at me. Am I looking dry? Look at my skin. Is it like I'm suffering? Do you know the amount of gari I consumed? I ate gari till gari told me I'm tired for you. Then I got tired for gari. I ate gari. You see, some of you said, Pastor Samuel doesn't eat gari again. There was a time. Now, even if we see you eating gari with sugar, we are even pitying you because you are a jebo. We just pour the water and start eating. How many of you have there? I've been there before. You just pour the water. Then as the thing is, that's where the beauty is. There's some of us that will lie and say, if you commot that thing, the gari no get nutrient again. It's a lie. The gari go waste. That's what we're avoiding to tell you. Oh, I had a roommate. When we're coming, they will bring gari half back. We will hide it. Put yam on top because we don't have one neighbors to know we have gari. You see us always happy because when there's nothing to cook, straight to gari. Before we cook, gari. While we're cooking, gari. After we're done eating, gari. Sir, all of them understand me. I ate gari and I had no problem with it. Let me share some very key point for you. Somebody came to my house one time, one pastor. He's a young elder brother. He came to stay with me for a while. Not necessarily because he wanted to come and eat my food or anything. He just wanted to come and learn some things. But I think in his mind, he felt like pastor was having a great time, man. So in the morning, he wanted to cook for me. So he said, sir, I want to cook. I said, go and cook. As he entered the kitchen, he didn't see what to cook. So he came to me and said, sir, I don't understand. You said I should cook, so I want to start cooking. I said, go on, cook. So he entered the kitchen and came back again. He said, sir, I don't see anything that I'm supposed to cook. I said, did you see yam? He said, yes. I said, did you see red oil? He said, yes. I said, did you see maggi? He said, yes. Did you see onion? He said, yes. I said, you don't know what you are talking about. I said, cut the yam. Don't peel it. Cut it. Put it in the water. Add small salt. Let it boil. When it boils, carry one of my iron plates. Put oil. Put it on the gas. Reduce the fire small. Put onions, put maggi, put small salt, mix it, bring it like the Last Supper. Do you know he has never actually tasted something like that? When he did, he said, sir, it's nice. The next day, he cut out from the house. I kept on I'm not trying to brag that I suffered. No, I did not suffer. I was still enjoying myself. Is there any proof I suffered? Is there any proof I ate that kind of thing on my body? No. But I go to campus, people say, Pastor Samuel, you're looking fresh. I say, yeah. It's the goodness of God. Say my brother, one time he came to the fellowship, he wanted to sow a seed of 5,000. He now said he was feeling bad. He didn't, that's later on when he now sowed. So finally the Lord was still hitting him, sow. So I was going home in a rush. I said, sir, I feel like sowing this seed. He gave me 5,000. I was telling God, thank you till I reach home. So, he now was telling me that time he sold one seed of 5,000 that he was struggling because I look like I deal with hundreds of thousands. And he was just bringing common 5,000. I said, come on. He said, yes. I said, at that time you gave me 5,000, I had no 1,000. I asked him, guess where I went to after that service? I was on 3 days dry. When he gave me the money, I went straight to Mama Put with my church suit that time. Is it coat or suit? I don't know. I entered there, drank two pure water, dealt with some food, went to the house, slept till 6 p.m. in the evening. The service ended like 2 p.m. I slept till 6 p.m. before I woke up. Hallelujah to Jesus. I said, you don't know what that 5,000 did for my life. But, you know, we never look poor. We always come looking cool, nice. One time I was sharing, people were shocked. Let me share with you that there was a time on campus I was boiling well water to drink. Well water. unbelievable, isn't it? Because I can't tell anybody that I don't have water to drink. Even church members. And there was church money. So I rather would boil fresh, they would see me fresh water, like, ah, good money, I'll fresh water. Enter my room, kitchen, pour it up in the pot, boil it when the whatsoever goes down. Then I'll just carry it and turn inside small, small rubber. I had one fridge, they sold seed to me on campus. I had one pastor, the pastor said, whatever I don't have, he cannot have. So he sold those things to me and I'll put it. So you come to my house, some of you that time, if you drank my water in the fridge, I'm so sorry, but that's what you drank. And I was calm because I felt like it was purer than some of your pure water. Am I lying? It's normal science. That's why I didn't judge myself. No disease can survive 100 degrees centigrade. Boiling point, isn't it? That's not the fact. You drank boiled water. That's what I'm trying to say. So in case you drank that time, hallelujah to Jesus. Until one guy catch me one time, one boy I was training, Jonathan, he's a pastor today. He just entered the house. He saw me pouring water. He just peeped the kitchen. Saw me pouring water inside rubber. He now opened the kitchen like he caught a thief. He was looking at me and looking at the rubber. He said, sir, what are you doing? I said, no, I'm just arranging. He said, sir, you boiled water and you are putting it in rubber. I said, calm down, calm down. Don't shout. I'm a man of God. He said, no, no, you are wicked. I said, wicked how? He said, how can we be here? You just command us to bring bags of water. We'll bring. How will you be boiling? I said, hey, calm down, calm down. He started calling people and reporting me. That day, the kind of thing I had in my house. But before that time, I didn't tell anybody. Hallelujah to Jesus. That is why I tell people that it's too late to be broke. No matter conspiration, I can never be broke in my life. I've seen God give me. See, I know God will give me money anytime I don't have. He gives me. I was sharing with them yesterday that I was just in the house. I remember one of these days, just in the house, see how God works. If I share this testimony, some of you will scatter laugh in this place. I was just in the house. There was so irons I changed in my first car before I got accident. They were just at the back of the house. I didn't know that those irons are manual. My wife now told me that there was no money to fill gas. And I spent my money on something. I just did something for some people. And it has gone. So I was hoping for some money to come, but it has not come yet. So I told her, no problem, I'll fill the gas. I never quarreled that I don't have money. I just said, I'll fill the gas. And she left me like that. So I was washing the car. And I heard somebody hitting iron. I know some of you will laugh. Where is I hitting iron? I said, these people sound familiar. Like those people I used to know when I was in Kaduna. And I said, iron condemn. They say yes. I said, come inside, kuzochiki, kuzochiki. They came inside. I didn't know that I was entering 2000s that morning. And I said, see those irons there. Carry it. It's not like I need it, but just bring something. You know, I said, sir, 6,000. I heard 6,000. I said, yeah. I'd almost tell them to go and throw them away. That is their Pastor Joe. He said, 6,000. I said, hey, that means it should be up to 9,000 and 10,000. I said, oh, kaga kamani na wasana ne. That thing is 20,000, but I wanted to test you. I said to him in Hausa. I said, okay, just bring 10,000. He said, begging. We calculated around 8,000 thereabouts. I said, okay, no problem. Let me just do happy salah for you. Bring it. Like a dream, he was counting the money. 8,000 he gave me. I already had some money, so I didn't. My wife, for those, she caught me. That was a painful part. I didn't want her to catch me. Pastor Simon, I said, what's happening? I said, no, I'm dashing somebody iron. And somebody will say, prophet, you are broke. No, it's sense. It's God that inspired me that morning. I did not steal anybody's money. I didn't know that I had money in my house all this while. You think it was not God that led that man to pass that place? Gas came out. Another time I had no money. I was just driving. I need to do something in my car. So I was driving to the mechanic. As I just went there, I just saw one man that dashed us gen many years ago on campus. How did he give us gen? I was praying in the spirit. The man said the prayer entered him. He carried his gen. Lose everything. He said, Pastor, carry this gen. Use it for your church. No jokes. That's how we got a new gen on campus. Can people remember? Some of you, many years ago, I just came and said, that gen is our own. Church was very shocked. Because it was expensive at that time. And I saw the man, he said, Pastor, we greeted, said, okay, And I was leaving the mechanic. Pastor, we just started talking about the good old days. He was fixing his car. When I was going, see, the way I know how God flows with me is too easy. I knew I would get, if I don't have money, I know money will come. As I was going, the man said, I want to sow seed. I just knew it was God. I said, no. And truly, I didn't want that money. I'm being 100% serious. I said to him, no, you've done so much in the past. I really don't want to bother. He said, no, Pastor, how will I say I'm not so seed? I said, no. I was on the car. I wanted to move. He threw the money inside like you spray somebody money. He said, Pastor, I must give you my heart. When he threw the money, I drove. I just called and I said, oh, no, you'd have not done that. I checked if anyone fell. I kept on moving. As I just bend one place, wind up on the AC, I check nobody, tinted glass. I looked at the ground, I saw the money. More than 15,000, there about around 20,000. And what I needed to do was, I said, God. Now, these are small amount of money. That God, you know, one thing with some of us is that when God does something small, we don't recognize the finger of God. That's why we don't see the hand of God. You want me to say 15 million? I've seen millions. I sat in the dig. Somebody gave me 1 million. I've seen money. He did not just go, sir, it has been in our hearts. We want to sow a seed. I said, why? You don't need to stress yourself. He said, sir, it has been a stretch. I told myself I must sow my first 1 million this year. I said, 1 million? He said, yes. I said, why? Yes, I asked him why. Spoke, because I don't know that you stole money. You want to come and give me money you stole, I don't know. Said he's been saving it for a while, and blah, blah, blah. And believe me, I was seated at the edge thinking of a business to start. No jokes. I was thinking of a business to start that would be giving me certain income for the family. And he just came in. When the money came, I just bought a car that time for Bolt, Uber driving, whatsoever. I remember. It was some little things. I think we needed to do something in church, so I had to sell it. And I'm going to get another one. It's not a bad thing. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, God has come in several ways like that. I'm teaching you sacrifice. People may hear us and say, we are being scammed. How are we being scammed? As you are looking at everything functioning in this church, is it by word of prophecy that we are sustaining everything working like this? We just look and say, light on, light off, gen on, woo, you know. It's foil. When he said tithe, he said so that there will be meat in my house. Is that not what he said? Meat there does not mean you should be eating food. Don't see that. When they say meat now, your mind just goes straight to food. Meat there simply means provision. Will 50-50 naira be providing, or 100 naira be providing foil in church and the rest? No. God says when I give you income, remove from your income and give to my work so that there will be provision in the house of God. Now, don't look at it more of the Old Testament and New Testament. First, start with mentality. Why did God say we should tithe? It's because of what? Provision for his work. So you think God will not change and say, now, don't give for my provision again? That's how you start judging from. So when you check the scripture, Levitical priesthood, I did the teaching here on Thursday. How many of you remembered? I hope you understood it. That while Abraham was given to Melchizedek before the Old Testament, where was the Levitical priesthood? Still in the loins. That's what Paul said. They were still in the word loins of Abraham. Meaning Abraham gave birth to the Levitical priesthood. Meaning Abraham is not under the law. And the Bible says, he that lives forever, Christ Jesus, he said, he seated in the heavens and forever receiveth our tithe. He said, it is a proof that he lives. That means when we give to the work of God, we are giving to God himself to aid the work of the ministry. It has not changed. Just like in the New Testament, it's not conditional. You can't say because you don't give, something bad will happen to you. No, it's not like that you give. You don't give with that kind of mindset in the New Testament. Whether you give or not, God will not punish you. But the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Meaning he expects you to give. if you are truly a child of God. Even if you don't give, he will not say you are my child. But if you are truly a child, he expects you to do the right thing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Very important. That's why nobody in church has the right to say, why have you not tithe? Blah, blah, blah. You must be. No, we don't do that in the New Testament. We teach the word of God, and if you are blessed, you want to give because you think it's appropriate to give, you give. So what is the bottom line? You that understand administration, don't allow people out there school you about the things of God. Are you listening to me? Don't allow them. You can't be everywhere. You can't be doing everything. There's some posts. There are certain people. See, let me be 100% sincere with you. I am answerable to God, not man. There are certain people as singers you should not even listen to. Not because they don't have beautiful sounds from their mouth. Their life, watch it carefully. Paul said, watch our lives, learn from us, follow us as we follow Christ. You see them on Facebook as a lady, a gospel artist. What are you busting your nose, but doing crazy things on your back? You are not dressed properly. Then you are singing gospel. What are you following such a woman for? And a man busting his nose. What are you following such a man for? We are not trying to judge them. We are not condemning them. There are two kinds of judgment, crema and katakrema. If I tell you smoking is wrong, I have not condemned you. I only told you smoking is what? Wrong. When I say you are stupid and useless and nothing can come out from your life for smoking, I've condemned you. And that's wrong. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So if I tell you it's not right as a gospel artist to dress in a certain way and sing, I did not condemn you. And because I know this is wrong, I will not follow your footstep. Don't be so... By God's grace, some of us have been into this music thing for a while. I don't know any sound in this world that will be too sweet. Of course, if we're talking about wonderful, sweet, nice sound, there are a lot of worldly songs that are nice. The sounds are nice. One of my best songs I like to hear those days in the world, I mean in the secular, is I know some of you want to hear. You know Bob Marley? You know this One Love? Oh my goodness. If I sing that song for you those days, my version used to be very sweet. We had a band, and before we started anything, that's the first song they always come and sing. I loved it so much. We pushed the reggae in a way that it was so pleasing to the ears. I remember one time I was on YouTube and somebody rebranded the song. And I paused for a while. After I was there, and I called myself Prophet Simon. I said, I forgot. Hey, but if you hear the wordings of the song, they don't seem so... They are not. I know some of you are like, but Simon, it's not bad. It's not a bad song. But I'm not saying it's a bad song, but if I hear it, some of you will suspect me. Yes or no? Imagine you come to my house and you're like, one love. One love. Less. Hey. So they don't jump. So I go, Prophet, how's today? Guess what? The unbelievable. Prophet, the vibe of Mali song. Some of them are nice songs, but we cannot what? Hear them. All that in the house of God. Are you here? Don't be full of activities. Do true Christianity. Hear me again. Don't be full of what? Do true. It is not all that glitters that is. It is not all that glitters that is. Serve God in spirit and in what? In truth. Do what is right, even if you are the only one doing it. Are you all listening to me? Last thing before we go is consistency. Somebody say consistency. If you keep on praying, routine is powerful than a miracle. As you keep on praying every day, you will bump into mind-blowing miracles. Be consistent in whatsoever you are doing. If you are praying an hour every day, keep on praying. Let nobody make you feel like it's not enough. Keep on praying. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Staying with the word of God. 30 minutes, 1 hour. Stay with it. Pray. As you are doing it like that, you are allowing the Holy Spirit to pave the way for himself by capacitating you. He will flow through you and do amazing things through your life. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Don't be under pressure. I was telling somebody last week, you know, The guy came to the office. He was so blessed with the message. You know, I almost drive that guy from church. And he came to my office that one thing I said on a Sunday. That's why sometimes as a man of God, you have to be patient. He said the thing really touched him. So he came. I was so amazed as I was singing songs. And I was so happy talking to him. He didn't know I was happy. He was in church one day operating phone. And I stood up and went and picked call. And then I wanted to tell Pastor, go and tell that guy never to come here. The Holy Spirit said, stop. Then one of the Sundays he came to my office, he was so blessed listening to the word of God. I was so excited. So while I was talking to him, I said to him that if you want to start growing in the things of God, start small. Though your beginning may be small, your later end will what? I said, start from where you are. And I told him a story of one of my pastors that came to me that she couldn't pray long. She couldn't pray, I think it was 5 minutes. That when she touched, it was 2 hours, she opened her eyes, it was 5 minutes. Then, and I told her, okay, I'll give you an assignment. She thought it was a big assignment. I said, pray for 10 minutes every day. So she was so happy telling me she prayed for 10 minutes every day. I said, oh, wow. Now, change it to 30 minutes every day. Till a point now, she can go hours now praying. Are we together? But why did I allow her to do it small, small? So that she gets what? Encouraged. You see some of these Christians that will be painting one picture for you on Facebook. That I just finished 12 hours with the Lord. 13 hours. I'm not saying that when the Lord is pushing you to pray long, you should not pray. But don't be feeling intimidated by somebody's prayer life. In fact, it is useless to be bringing your secret place to the public. Are you people get out and try to explain to you? Secret place is secret place, not public place. There are some people that cannot pray without camera on. They are doing their morning devotion with a camera. Evening devotion with a camera. Crying to God with a camera. Then where is the secret place there? I'm making you feel like your 2 hours is useless. Your 1 hour is useless. Forget about those things. Be consistent with whatever you are doing. It was said of Lester Sumner that he prayed 2 hours every day of his life. Look at the great things he did. But they say he took time to meditate on the word so much. Are you listening to me? That he used to meditate so much, and that's most important. The reason for prayer is so that the word of God becomes your consciousness. It's a technology to make sure that the word of God becomes your consciousness. That the word of God is the center of your thinking. If you don't achieve that in prayer, then you have not prayed. Are you all listening to me? So, order in the house of God is very important. Don't allow anybody to school you out from this order. There are some people that don't like order. When they come to any place and there's order, they cannot cope with it. They would rather have them go. It's wrong. When they tell you don't get into a relationship, don't get into one. There are some people here, I've told them already, don't enter a relationship. And if you look at them, you know what I've said is true. Don't enter. And it's not because you are long or big that you should enter a relationship. You are long and big. And you are just 21 years. And you are in 200 level. What are you looking for in a relationship? Like one of my sons called me many years ago. He said he's in a relationship. I said, okay, you break up soon. So what is the Lord's, what is happening with your life? He said, sir, I said, no, that's not my business. He was so shocked. I told him he would break up soon. So I said, tell me what God is saying. What is happening in your life? He said, the faith is not, I said, why will he grow? How old are you? 21. Why are you in a relationship? So I said, you were not led anything. You entered out of emotions. To cut the long story short, broken up. Just like the prophecy went forth. I said, I will not break it forth, but it will break. It's not a curse. I said, except you are not following God. If you are praying every day, God will set his leg for you. You know, the Bible says, God sets, how did they say it? What about scripture? He put a stumbling block in Zion. Many as you are following God, there will be a stumbling block to stop you from some bad thing you are doing. God will set leg for you. It's not a joke. Except you are not following God, he will set you trap like this. You will fall. The relationship will break. That precious egg, woo, they are scattered. And some of you, at that point, Satan can even get into your heart if you are not careful. That is why when the relationship is not, while it's not strong now, break up. Break up. You have your man, for instance. Imagine this man is supposed to be your husband. Stand up, let him see you. this fine man now. Imagine he's supposed to be your husband. He's not fine. We don't have sincere people in this church. He's not fine. Thank you, my sister. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now imagine now that this man now is supposed to enter a relationship with you, for instance. But you now, you are liking him. Two of you, stand up, let them see all of you. Stand up. Two of them are liking each other as choir members. They are deeply in love. But this is the man God has prepared for her. Do you know those things happen? Some of you are telling your husband about your boyfriend already. You are looking for advice from your husband for your boyfriend. And your husband is advising the relationship. I knew a lady many years ago. She told me about a guy that was counseling her, a pastor. She had 3 breakups with this guy. He would come back, cry. The 4th time, the guy now told her, "See, I'm tired. God has been telling me that you are my wife. I don't want to counsel again." She was so shocked. They started a relationship, but she was now liking the former man back. He's a devil. And she came to me for counseling. I said, "Why do you like the former man?" She said, "He's romantic. He's sweet. That's why he's a cheat." What of the current one? She said, "Sir, the current one is a good man, a very good man. Very good person. Takes care of me. Sir, it's not romantic. Every time we see that, it's Bible. Every time we see that, we say, we ask me assignment. What have you not done? What have I done?" She said, "Me, I cannot cope." Hallelujah to Jesus. She said, "I'm tired." And I asked her, "Why do you want to go back?" I said, "This one is crying. He's begging now. She thinks he means it this time." I said, "Did he cry the first time?" I said, "Yes." "Second time, yes." "Third time, yes." "Fourth time, he's crying." I said, "This is just Nollywood. He was inspired by Ramsey Noah. He will break up again with you. Leave him for good." That's how our life was saved. You know, see, this one is not being romantic now. This one is romantic. It's not romantic. This one is romantic. Romantic. For instance, Playboy and a man of destiny. For instance. It's not like that too. For instance. Playboy now knows how to make you happy. He's just a nanny. Annabelle, do 360 for me. And he will call you all the names. Your head will scatter. Then you come to Pastor Phil and say, "How are you?" Right. So, did you study that part of the Bible I told you to check? I need the report. Say, you can't even tell me good morning. Okay, you just tell me Bible. You see? Husband, love your wife as God. So, who is doing the work now? Is it Annie Baby or man of destiny? Are you people catching it now? Fake boys know how to be romantic. Fake people. Cheats. They know how to be romantic. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Men of destiny don't know how to send sweet messages. Cheats know how to send sweet messages. "You are the apple in my eyes, the sugar in my tea, the life of my light." They know. They can lie. You know, one time I saw one of my boys wrote, "You are the light, you are the essence of my life." And he was shocked. And I called him. I said, "What of Jesus? Who is he to you?" There are some things, you know, that is a lie. I said, "Won't be to women, the essence of my life." Say, "Hey, whoa, the light of my life. Hey, whoa, what of Jesus? He's the light of life and all of our lives." You can just say things that are realistic. You are very precious to me. I adore you. I love you. Real. You are my beginning and the end. How? Hey, are you catching this now? So don't make that mistake, some of you. Don't make that mistake. And some of you don't know, I've thought this before. Let me end with this. That if Satan wants to deal with you sometimes, you see, they say make with a marriage. No, church, maybe about church marrying your church. No, it's about the call of God on your life and marrying somebody that can help you fulfill it. Are you listening to me? Very important. You see yourself touching nations. You are going to carry a man. That is vision. It's not in alignment with what God is telling you to do. He will fight everything God wants to do in your life. So now God wants to scatter your life. I mean, Satan wants to scatter your life. He will think of a plan. He will inspire this man to fall in love with you. The guy will think he loves you. He'll be buying you everything. You will now fall for this man. This one is not even making so much effort. Because to him, he heard God. If you hear, if you say a man that have heard God, there's peace. This one has done everything, gotten you. There's nothing he did not buy. There's no SMS he did not send. He got you. But he's taking you to abyss. This is what God has said. Do you know Satan can inspire this man? You will fall for this man. And that is how you miss out in destiny. Hey, talk to me, people. Are you listening to me? That's a sad part of love. This love thing. I've been saying this thing several times. That you see burning Christian. Who they like is one guy in the world who is not doing well spiritually. Who told you this man cannot be romantic? Wait for the time you will know that he'll be romantic. Now he's a man of God. He's pursuing God. See, one of the person that can give you tough time in a relationship is a young pastor that knows where he's going to. They don't care about anything. If you really find a young pastor who knows where he's going to, the only thing that concerns that young pastor is Jesus. Believe me, he's in that relationship solely because God said you are the one. Except he's fake young pastors. I'm talking about somebody that knows where he's going to. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Did you catch this? So be very careful. God gives men. God give what? Women. And God, when will my own husband come? Forget, be serving God. They will come. So everybody don't get, OTs don't even get engaged. Where my own? I'm impatient. God, the God of that evil OTs, do it for me. Calm down. My mother has been calling. She's been asking me. Calm down. You had one friend in secondary school. You have become a Christian. She's not a full Christian. She's a partial Christian. Then she has now gotten engaged. They even bought her car in the engagement. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Now she's in love. Hallelujah to Jesus. And you are wondering. You are wondering. Your mother now called you. Did you see your friend? Did you see this? Did you see that? How about you? Don't be worried. You are not going towards the same path. Are we together? Let me close with this. You are not going towards the same path. Have you been blessed? Have you been blessed? Just bow your head and thank God for His word. Give Him praise. We worship you, Father. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' gracious name.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.